Most people don't think much about the powers of the county sheriff, and they do differ from state to state. But in Sussex County, Sheriff Jeff Christopher is taking matters into his own hands as he fights with the local county council, has told him his deputies cannot make arrests. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. Sheriff's departments in Delaware have not carried out law enforcement duties in recent decades, focusing on serving court documents and running foreclosure sales. But what makes the dispute even more interesting is that Christopher appears to be part of what's called a Constitute Sheriff's Movement. This morning, we'll take a look at the role of sheriffs and how the dispute in Delaware plays out in the larger picture. In studio guests, we will be joined shortly by Sussex County Sheriff Jeff Christopher. Also, we have former Sheriff's Deputy Margaret Reyes. She's a local blogger in Sussex County who's been following the issue. On the Maryland side of the border, we have Wicomico County Sheriff Mike Lewis and also Somerset County Sheriff Robert Jones. And welcome to everybody. Well, let's just turn to the Maryland side of this thing first of all. And give me a sense about in terms of what your powers are and how that relates to what the state of Maryland says about it in terms of its constitution. Because in the Delaware case, we have a dispute over just exactly what their state constitution means, what's implied in terms of powers. How does it fit for you guys, Sheriff Lewis?
Well, per our state constitution, we are elected every 4 years. We're elected by the people. But the sheriffs in the state of Maryland serve a more traditional role as a sheriff in that we have full arrest powers. We traditionally patrol our counties, our respective counties, and we are expected not only make criminal arrests, but we're expected to make traffic stops. And I teach and preach that wherever I go, because the number one method to suppress all criminal activity in our cities, in our counties, in our communities is through aggressive traffic enforcement. And I think everybody can clearly see in the last 5 years I've been here, we've taken on a huge role in aggressive traffic enforcement, which has resulted in a huge reduction in criminal activity throughout Wicomico County. But in addition to patrolling every day, we have 7 to 9 deputies patrolling every shift throughout the county, and we handle probably 70% of all criminal calls here in Wicomico County. But we do have concurrent jurisdiction with the Maryland State Police, and that's a great relationship. It's a great marriage. But typically there are 2 to 3 troopers patrolling this county at any given time, and we have 7 to 9 deputies.
What, by the way, what is the relationship or what are the powers that the state troopers have as opposed to, say, county sheriffs?
It's the same.
It's exactly. They're also law enforcement as well.
Absolutely. It's identical. We have concurrent jurisdiction with the Maryland State Police. We back them up on calls. They back us up on calls. But we have a lot more deputies working at any given time. So we do handle a lot more calls. But we do have concurrent jurisdiction with them.
So now you said indicated, though, that there are some counties actually in Maryland that do not necessarily have your powers. So the state constitution really isn't very specific, then, I assume, then, about what powers county sheriffs have and don't have.
Right. Now, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore City, Howard County, Montgomery County, the sheriff's office still retains its law enforcement authority in these areas. However, their duties are strictly limited to enforcing orders of the court, except in rare instances where called upon by the county police or other law enforcement agencies to assist. That's not the case here in Maryland, as you well know. We have a Bureau of Investigation, Wicomico Bureau of Investigation, which is comprised of 5 troopers, 5 deputies, and it's housed here in Wicomico County. And they work on all major cases together, and they do a great job. They do a great job.
Sheriff Jones, why don't you describe a little bit about what's going on in your county in terms of the way you enforce the law. I assume it's very similar to Sheriff Lewis here.
Exactly. We do basically the same thing, except here in Wicomico, they have a much larger population, larger police department, sheriff's department. But we basically do the same thing. We handle all the court situations, security. Any process comes out of the courts. We enforce traffic laws. We do criminal investigations. We have people in our narcotics task force. We work well with state police. We back them up. They back us up. And we basically have the same authority that the state police does. We just handle civil matters that the state police do not handle. So that's in addition to our normal duties as police officers, law enforcement officers. We do all the civil side of the courts, security, transportation, and those type of things.
And that's mandated by the Constitution,
yes,
which Sheriff Jones is talking about. And as he said, Those are things that the state police do not have the authority to do. For instance, the sheriff's deputies in the office of the sheriff are exclusively responsible for all evictions throughout their counties. We have the exclusive authority to evict someone from their house. We also serve all protective orders, all peace orders. We handle all animal complaints in my county. We issue licenses for many different things, to include taxi cab regulations, issuing license for taxi cabs, permits for vendors. There are a number of things that we do in the county that only the sheriff's office does do.
Now, we don't do some of those things that Mike alluded to, like licenses for, we don't do that in Somerset. We register sex offenders.
And all of the office of sheriff in the state of Maryland registers all sex offenders, and that's directly from the governor.
Right. So I want to turn to Margaret for a moment, because if county sheriffs do not have the kind of law enforcement powers that Sheriff Lewis and Jones have described, in unincorporated areas, how is law enforced then? I mean, how does that work? Give us a sense about that.
We have the Delaware State Police.
And they carried out what they might, for instance, Sheriff Lewis might carry out.
Exactly. We have three counties in Delaware, two at high tide, three at low tide. Newcastle County has the Delaware State Police as well as the Newcastle County Police. And that was the decision Newcastle County government made and the taxpayers and the voters made many, many years ago. And it came at quite a price. It's very expensive to provide that, but it's a much more populous area. So in Newcastle County, the state police more patrol the highways, and Newcastle County Police are responsible for the jurisdictions, and then you have the municipal law enforcement like the city of Newark or the city of Wilmington. When you get down into Sussex County, it's a very large county. It's very rural. And Sussex County has paid the Delaware State Police, I think it's up to about $1.7 million now, for extra troopers to patrol the unincorporated areas of Sussex County. And the state police has investigative training. They have evidence. They have all the wherewithal to support what you need to have in order to have a fully functioning police agency.
Now, we'll sort of get into this. We're still waiting for Sheriff Christopher, but he argues that the sheriff is a conservator of the peace, quoting from the state constitution, and that gives him the top law enforcement powers within the county. What's wrong with that interpretation of the state constitution?
Well, that's his opinion. That's a personal opinion that he holds based on his personal interpretation of the Constitution. The Delaware sheriff has existed prior to our Constitution, but if you go back as far as the 1600s, we've had a sheriff in Delaware. And the role has changed, of course, over the past 250 years. There have been attempts in the past to define the role of conservator of the peace in Delaware. It has not been defined. And several years ago, there was another sheriff who also wanted to have police authority. And it was ruled by the then AG that they were not a police officer, therefore they could not have lights on their vehicles, and they were ordered to remove the lights. And that sort of calmed the controversy down. Then we had another sheriff who was elected in, and this was never a controversy. They do foreclosure sales, they do evictions, replevins, liens, and carry out the orders of the court and protection from abuse orders. Then this sheriff ran for office, and this is his personal opinion on what he feels he should be doing. And that's the problem. It's a personal opinion.
Without trying to get into why this has occurred, but I mean, why has this particular division occurred, or this particular dispute occurred at this point in time? I mean, what makes this sheriff different from any other sheriffs that have come before? I realize I'm asking you to maybe look a little more into the personalities, and hopefully Sheriff Christopher will be here in a few minutes to talk about his own views. But why has this come up, do you think?
I'm really not sure. I'm really the only person that's able to answer what's going on in Jeff Christopher's mind is Jeff Christopher. I really can't say.
Mm-hmm. So the county, of course, is, my understanding, is pushed back. I saw some opinions by, or some directives by, I guess it was Administrator Baker, of the county administrator talking about not doing the kinds of things, so for instance, traffic stops and so on. Where are we in terms of that? Is that still going on? Do we know? What's the situation at this point?
I have the same information you have. There's currently an AG's opinion pending from the Delaware Attorney General on the roles of the sheriff yet again. There has been one issued already recently, and then there's another one that we're waiting to come out from the AG's office. There was actually a meeting of the Criminal Justice Council last week to discuss whether or not they are going to revoke or investigate Sheriff Christopher's access to DelGIS.
Which is
the Delaware Judicial Information Service, which is basically what, when you do a traffic stop or you run somebody in the quote-unquote system, it comes back with their criminal history, their address, a physical description, which is an important tool. And to be very clear, the sheriff is a law enforcement officer. They just don't have full police powers. And they need to be a law enforcement officer to enforce the orders of the court, to do the replevins, to do the foreclosures, to do the liens. They need to have that. That's very, very important. And if you're abusing a criminal justice system like DelGIS, and you're using it in an unauthorized way to do unauthorized things like traffic stops and arrests, and DelGIS authority or accessibility is pulled, you're placing all your deputies at risk because they now don't have access to that information system. So the Criminal Justice Council decided that they would wait for the AG's opinion to see if this arrest that was made was lawful or unlawful.
So where does this then go from here? I mean, we simply have to await for the opinion then from the state AG?
Well, the state AG, I believe, is looking at an arrest that one of Sheriff Christopher's deputies made to see if it was lawful or not. Jeff Christopher has said in the news media that he has asked the legislature for a declaratory judgment, which is kind of odd because the legislature cannot issue a declaratory judgment. A declaratory judgment needs to be issued by a judge in a court of law. And what really needs to happen is Sheriff Christopher needs to file a suit in Superior Court in Delaware and leave it to the judiciary to rule on this. And as of yet, he has not done so.
I want to sort of broaden this out since we're still waiting for Sheriff Christopher, because I ran across a phrase I never thought I would see, which is no sheriff left behind. And this is part of a sheriff's, I guess, constitutional movement is what it's called. And Christopher apparently does identify with it, as it certainly is indicated he has, in which basically the idea is that no one supersedes the sheriff. He is the law of the county. And this, we're not only talking about the state of Delaware, but we're talking about something that goes beyond, apparently, the state power. And as a matter of fact, one of the leaders of this movement, it says states do not have the right to go to the county and say you don't have the sheriff anymore, end quote. Let me start with you. Margaret, what do you make of, how does this larger issue fit into what's going on here? Because there are a number of states, the sheriffs in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, all talking about the same thing, that it goes beyond just simply even the state constitution issue, which is something that we've been talking about.
I've done a lot of research on this. I've done a lot of research on the sovereign citizen movement, Posse Comitatus, if you're familiar with that. It's very troubling, because basically you have somebody setting themselves up as the ultimate law, the authority, responsible to nobody, and that's tyranny. And that's not what this country is about. We have a process. We have an executive branch. We have a judicial branch. We have a legislative branch. There is a way to do things. And whenever you have one person that sets themselves up as the ultimate authority and does and works outside of the system that we have established over the past 250 years, to me, that's very troubling. That's very, very troubling, and it's very scary. And that's why I've gotten as deeply involved in this as I have.
Okay, so one of the things, as a matter of fact, I understand is it sort of rises in part from requirements of the Brady gun control law, which requires sheriffs or local folks to carry out certain duties. Immigration, obviously, has now been mixed in a bit with this as well. So it seems as if, I mean, on one level, this seems to be a dispute between sheriffs and being told what they can and cannot do by the federal government. Am I right about that? I mean, that's where its origin seems to come from.
I would say if you look at the United States in general and you break it down to the counties and you look at how many sheriffs there are actually in existence, and I'm not sure how many sheriffs there are actually in the United States.
Probably over 3,000.
Okay, there's 3,000 sheriffs. How many of them are bucking the system and why? I think you'll find it's probably less than one half of 1%.
Well, Sheriff Lewis, I got to ask you. So, what was your what is your reaction or assessment of this sheriff's constitutional movement?
I don't want to be part of it. I can tell you, I received many emails to go to that conference last week in Las Vegas, and I just kept deleting and deleting and deleting. And they were providing all expense paid trips for each sheriff throughout the country to go to this conference. It was the first annual conference, I guess, of many they will have. But I got to tell you, I'm far too busy to be concerned about this radical movement, and that's what I would describe it as, to be honest with you. And I think I told you that last week on the phone. Something I didn't want to be part of. I got to tell you, by state law, our Constitution requires, by state law, and in each state is different. Each state is different. But in the state of Maryland, our state law requires that all deputy sheriffs be full sworn law enforcement officers by the state governing agency, and that is the Maryland Police Training Commission. That is the Maryland Police Training Commission. So we are required to be sworn law enforcement officers with full authority. But now, again, we're sworn and we're governed by a state governing agency. That would be the Maryland Police and Correctional Training Agency out of Sykesville, Maryland. So that is a requirement. And that's what gives us the full authority to conduct not only traffic stops, but criminal investigations, arrest, and so forth in Maryland.
And to follow up on that, in Delaware, we have an actual explicit prohibition against that very thing from happening.
Yeah, it varies from state to state. It truly does.
Okay, and well, we are now joined by Sussex County Sheriff Jeff Christopher. Well, let me ask you,
Good morning. So
how are you doing? Make your case for why you think you should have police powers. Obviously, we've been discussing a bit of that over the last few minutes. What's your case for why that should happen, why you should have those powers?
Well, I heard Ms. Reyes say something to the effect that the conservative piece has not been defined in Delaware. Actually, it has been defined because the Delaware State Police Commission, which is in Delaware State Law 8302, I believe, says the powers and duties of the state police. You have to pardon me, I'm a little bit out of breath.
It's all right.
Had some car trouble this morning. Basically, what it says, the state police shall be the conservators of the peace throughout the state. And it goes on, prior to 2007, it stated that the state police shall have police powers similar to those of sheriffs, constables, and other police officers. That was changed in state law in 2007. The purpose that it was for what it was changed for was noted in a legislative sock, if you will, that the term sheriff was outdated. Now, I disagree with that. Sheriffs are a strong tradition in the state of Delaware, just like they are in any other state. And we're empowered by the people, for the people and of the people. Citing the Constitution there, and in the state of Delaware, it says it aligns the sheriff in Article 15 of the Delaware State Constitution along with the judges, chancellors, and the attorney general, recognizing that those entities need the power, the authority, calls them the conservators of the peace. And then it's a compound sentence. It says, the sheriff shall be the conservator of the peace throughout the counties in which they reside. My contention is this. The conservator of the peace has been defined by state law when it defines the Delaware State Police. And if you look at this and play semantics with it, which is the problem, I believe, the word police officer, peace officer, law enforcement officer, or conservator of the peace, however you want to look at it, I've talked to numerous attorneys who have said basically the term conservator of the peace, and if you look at it in the Black's Law Dictionary, it's very clear. It defines it as one who is tasked with conserving or preserving the peace as a peace officer. So a more modern term or a more modern way of looking at the term conservative peace is peace officer. And I think both sheriffs will agree with me that we as sheriffs, especially elected sheriffs, are peace officers. It's more, in the research that I've done, it's more aligned with the court itself, the duties of the court. And of course, the court would be mute if it didn't have the arm, the executive arm of the sheriff, to go out there and exact the orders of the court. If the judge says, go and arrest this or go and arrest that for this violation, the sheriff is tasked with that order of the court, has to do it. I think Sheriff Lewis alluded to the fact that there's a certain civil tasks that are given by the court to the sheriff that the state police or any other agency doesn't do. I argue not with that at all. In fact, what I argue with, basically, and some of my detractors will say, that the cost is an issue here. Well, I say it's not, because I'm not looking for a county police. I've told every single person, openly and honestly, as best as I could, that I'm not looking to turn this into a county police. I'm simply looking to define the role of sheriff, to bring it to fruition the way it should have been. I believe it's been, how should I say, pigeonholed, for lack of a better description, for political reasons. And I think the sheriff has a duty and has a responsibility to the people to be the conservator of the peace. In fact, the detractors have tried, and I think Ms. Reyes alluded to the fact that they tried to legislatively do away with the sheriff and the role of the sheriff through constitutional amendments in the past.
Let me turn to Margaret for a moment, and you can respond to that. And also, what about this more generalized is the argument he makes that conservative of the peace, that there's this certain ambiguity, and also, I guess, springs from, I guess, one of his arguments is that a previous opinion definitely includes sheriffs ultimately and allowing them to carry out these police functions.
Well, Jeff talked about semantics, and he is, in fact, talking semantics here. Yes, certainly, the Delaware State Police are conservatives of the peace, but that doesn't mean a conservative of the peace is a police officer. I mean, you can have a ham sandwich. It doesn't mean all sandwiches are ham. It doesn't mean all ham is in all sandwiches. It's you were talking inclusive or exclusive. And it clearly outlines in Title 11, Chapter 84, we also have a council on police training in the state of Maryland. I'm sorry, Delaware. I forget where I am. we also have a COPT. And in order to, and it's very defined in Title 11, Chapter 84, that exactly what a police agency is tasked with doing. And they are tasked with enforcing, investigation, and prevention of crime. And the only people that can do that are people that are certified by the Council on Police Training and have attended the academy. The deputies and the sheriff's deputies are specifically prohibited from attending the academy and getting certified by the Council on Police Training in the state of Delaware. That is our state law.
Well, let me ask you about that, Sheriff. That your people are not allowed to have that training that one would expect to have if you're going to go and carry out the kinds of responsibilities, traffic stops, so on. So one might be able to argue that, well, your sheriff's deputies may not be equipped enough in terms of the training to carry these functions out.
There's multiple agencies in the state of Delaware, multiple agencies such as parole and probation, who have police authority and police arrest authority, police powers, if you will. And this is where I go back on the word semantics, because police officer itself is a specific term, and for purposes of legislative bodies and legislative of connection, and even legislators have told me this, the word police officer usually relates to the function of an appointed system of government or system of policing, such as a police department, Maryland State Police, Delaware State Police, working under the governor under an appointed system of enforcement power. The sheriff is not appointed. That's the whole purpose of it. That's why sheriffs tend to be, and most often are in every state, the CLEO, the chief law enforcement officer of the county. Sheriff Lewis is, and Sheriff Jones is. We have dropped the ball in Delaware. Now, let me be clear. I'm not trying to usurp anything with the Delaware State Police. We work well with the troopers out there on the road. And just because it says, and in fact, the title she's referring to refers to the attendance of the Delaware State Police Academy. And it says, for purposes of this chapter, the term police officer doesn't include sheriff and his regular deputies or constables. And I don't argue with that. What, you know, it is what it is. I'm simply saying that the sheriff had the authority before the state law even came along. It was there. It's the power of the people, for the people, by the people, which by which the election process tags the sheriff and gives him the responsibility to be the conservator of the peace.
Well, let me say this, because we were talking to earlier about for decades, at least in practice anyway, sheriffs have not carried out the kinds of functions that you're talking about. So I guess one of the questions is, why now? Why you deciding that there's a different definition than, say, some of your predecessors?
Well, I think you can go into the state of Delaware and walk into any court over there, and you can see an array of I don't want to say panic, but you can see an array of a need for the court to function a little bit differently. They're trying to fix things right now to make things a little more streamlined. They're trying to get an officiation to the point where things are automated through technology and what have you. I simply want to be able to send my guys out on the road, my deputies on the road, to function for the court without putting them in jeopardy or at peril. If, for instance, we have protection from abuse orders that we serve on a routine basis. We've had multiple times when those deputies have been confronted by the individual that is subject to that PFA, protection from abuse. And it deals with domestic violence. Both sheriffs will sit here and tell you, and I'm sure, because I'm also a veteran of Maryland Police for 26 years. In fact, I trained under Sheriff Lewis for highway interdiction. And when I worked the Eastern Shore, it was a valuable asset. But back on the topic, if you're talking about the danger of domestic violence, it's the highest concern that police officers have, because you're injecting yourself as a police officer into the home of a person or persons with high passion floating around the room, and you have to find some sort of solution between the two parties, or sometimes three or four parties if there's older children, not to mention the fact that you have vulnerable children. When you have these situations going on in the home, you have to deal with those. When you walk into a house to serve a PFA and you say, "I'm sorry, sir, you've got to leave. We've got to take your children. And by the way, here's an eviction notice. And by the way, we have to take your guns, because by Delaware law, you can't have possessed guns under a PFA."
I'm sorry, Jeff. I want to just interject something for a moment. I think the sheriff has been a little disingenuous here. There's a difference between a PFA that is normally served and an ex parte or emergency PFA. When somebody's seeking a PFA, they can do it in two ways. They can do it ex parte, which means an emergency, which you get in front of a judge immediately, and that ex parte order is given or not given to the person receiving it. Or you make an appointment, and you wait 30 days to go in front of the judge and get your ex parte order, or your PFA. What Sheriff Christopher is referring to is, I believe, the emergency PFA. The emergency PFA says that the person who is being served the protection from abuse order, if they have weapons, they need to turn them over. Those weapons are turned over to the state police. It's actually the state police who comes out and takes those weapons. And I'll tell you why. Sheriff Christopher does not have a place to hold weapons. They go into evidence and they're held for the people who own the weapons.
So now you're saying that the state, so these emergency, for instance, the state police run out and do it. Although, what if you are, if the county sheriff goes out to serve the non-emergency and they're confronted with this situation that he's describing, what happens after that?
I would actually like the sheriff to tell me in the past year how many times they've actually had to call for backup when they served a PFA.
We've had probably at least six situations that I can think of with deputies on the road going out to serve a PFA where the individuals have become very verbally confrontive.
Okay. And I deal with that work every day.
Mm-hmm. But do you have any law enforcement background besides being a sheriff deputy for a year or two?
Nice qualifier. Very good. Actually, I do have, I'm retired from Montgomery County Fire Rescue, and I do have some background.
Okay. Well, there. I've been in the middle of domestic violence. For almost 30 years, I've dealt with domestic violence situations. And I can tell you right now, when it comes to dealing with passion in the families, when someone walks away from you, the first thing that the officer is trained to do is separate the parties. The second thing, and most primarily, is to keep your eyes on both parties, or all parties, because passion runs high in these situations, And in fact, I'll go to one particular situation where the individual went back to go to pick up a pistol. And had I not known what he was going to do. Now, he tells me he was going to inflict harm upon himself. But I'm not to assume those things. I'm assuming that that threat is towards me. If one of my deputies goes into a situation and finds himself right there at the time of passion, he's there, the deputy's serving him the papers, and all of a sudden somebody comes out with a weapon or refuses to leave and confronts that individual in uniform, then we have a situation that that deputy needs to deal with, and that's simply where I want the training.
Let me just step in there. We could probably debate for another half hour, but we've been joined by Sussex County Sheriff Jeff Christopher, also a former sheriff's deputy, Margaret Reyes, a local blogger who's been following this issue in Sussex County. On the Maryland side of the border, Wicomico County Sheriff Mike Lewis and also Somerset County Sheriff Robert Jones. This has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit pac14.org.